Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Pat Bostic going to be joining us in a couple of minutes live in studio. You want to talk to him? You can on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I saw Pony ranked his NFL head coaches yesterday. Guess he does that every year. I see that NFL.com has its NFL quarterback index. These are the things you do right before the season starts, Dorn. Any guess as to who Nick Shook of NFL.com has as the number one quarterback in the NFL?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Okay.
Is Russ better than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Who do you think should be number two? Because I'm conflicted. And we're going to do all this through a Steelers lens here. Like, where exactly does Russell Wilson fit in? Where does he fit in among the NFC or the AFC? And, like, basically where I drew the line here was, can he play like the 14th best quarterback in football? We'll get to all that with our QB guru, Mr. Pat Bostic. Remember when we used to have Kenny's quarterback coach on?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Rassiope.
It's still his name, right?
Yes, yeah. It's still, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't change
it. No, he changed it to Anthony. It was Tony before.
Oh, really?
Anthony, yeah.
Oh, he classed it up.
Yes, he did. Went for, to the old school.
Kenny Pickett's personal quarterback guru. That just fell off.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
That's weird you bring that up.
Great man.
I was thinking about that last night.
You were thinking about Anthony Rassiope last night?
Yeah, how it just fell off. And I was like, yeah, I would have did the same
When it got bad, 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 bad,
yeah.
You don't want to go on the radio and talk about bad,
I don't think
bad,
he really
bad,
wanted
bad,
to
bad.
Do it in the first place.
He was just being nice.
Yes.
And he is nice.
Yes, very.
And he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
A lot of guys.
So Lamar Jackson is listed as the number two quarterback here, then Josh Allen. If I were building a team and Patrick Mahomes is off the board, I am absolutely picking Josh Allen.
I agree.
And I know that Lamar Jackson has won 2 MVPs. I'm not one of these Lamar Jackson haters. I feel like around here, in Pittsburgh in particular, he is as underrated a player as there is in the NFL because the Steelers have had the Ravens' number recently. When Lamar has played, they've had his number. And when he hasn't played, it's because he's hurt, so Steelers fans think he's injury-prone, which he kind of is. I think Lamar Jackson's a hell of a player. He's won like 73% of his games. They put up points. He's won 2 MVPs. Here's why I'd take Josh Allen. The Ravens get up like 2 scores on everybody. They are one of the best first half teams in the NFL. But when it doesn't go according to plan, it's hard for them to dig out of a hole. Josh Allen, if I'm down 14 points, I think he can pull me out of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I have more faith in that. I probably feel the same way about Joe Burrow, but because Allen is also the running threat, for me, he would be my number two.
Same.
Like, imagine a world where Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist. Josh Allen would be the guy,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Even though Lamar's won a couple of MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh Allen, he can do it both ways. He reminds me of Cam Newton. What Cam did when he won the MVP.
Here's a good question for you. And just going back into history a little bit. If Tom Brady didn't exist, who would be the guy?
Oh, man. Great question. Peyton.
Well, okay. Let's say both of those guys. If they didn't exist, who would be the guy during that era?
Ben, right?
That's who I was thinking.
It would have to be. Philip right there, but he didn't win, Jack.
I know.
I think if you flip-flop Ben and Philip, I think Rivers probably wins a Super Bowl, but I think Ben might win one out there in Los Angeles. Like, I think Ben's a better player than Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
But I also think it was a better situation here.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a question.
Like, who would be the guy? Breeze?
Good one. Rodgers. But Rodgers, for whatever reason, I lump in the Brady's and Peyton Manning and Ben and Rivers and Eli.
Before Rodgers?
Before Rodgers. But
Rodgers
I don't think
came
that's
out in,
right.
05? Mm-hmm. 04, 05?
But when did he start playing, I guess, is the question.
07, I think.
09, I think, is the year, I think, that Brett Favre was in Minnesota.
Yes, it was.
So 2008, Favre was with the Jets. So that would have been Rodgers' first year. So, yeah, he started up a little bit later. I do think, like, yeah, you're right. You take Brady out, who's the next one? You take Mahomes out. Would they have a Super Bowl? Yeah, the Bills. Would he have multiple? Maybe.
I know one for another one that if he didn't, things didn't go the way that they did, who would be if Brady was out? Vic. If stuff didn't happen, I think that he would be the guy.
Real quick, who do you think's the best quarterback in the NFC? Like, you got Jalen Hurts, you got Dak Prescott, you got Matt Stafford, you got Jordan Love.
Stafford.
I agree.
Stafford, for sure.
And he's another one of those guys. Mm-hmm. You take him from what had been hapless Detroit, you plop him in with a good situation, bang, all of a sudden, immediately wins a Super Bowl. Pathew Bostic is here. Good morning to you, friend. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm enjoying this conversation. I have no idea what the prompt was.
We're just talking QBs, man, because we got NFL football tonight between two great ones.
If you take out Patrick Mahomes, if he doesn't exist, who would be the guy? If you take out Tom Brady in that era and he doesn't exist, who would be the guy? Who would be the face?
I mean,
and Peyton too.
Take Peyton out?
Yeah, take Peyton
okay.
out.
Okay. It's probably Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. in that era. But Ben and Rivers would be right there. Breeze would be right there.
What's better?
I tell you who a guy who gets no credit, who might have won two Super Bowls if it wasn't, is McNabb.
That's a good one, too.
I mean, they were good.
They were very good.
But they just found a way to lose the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
He never gets brought up anymore.
Never.
Never.
He was, I mean, I grew up watching him, so that was Westbrook. They had no receivers except for T.O. year.
Freddie Mitchell with the...
He
had the...
4th-and-27
yeah.
or 4th-and-20.
That was against the Packers, right?
Yeah.
Brian Mitchell or... Was it Freddie Mitchell? Freddie Mitchell?
One of the Mitchells.
Brian Mitchell played there too, right?
He did. Yeah. He did. Yeah, that's a tough one. In this era, right now.
Yep.
Whew, oh, man. That's really hard.
So I think that era, the top end of quarterback, was better than the top end now.
Yes.
Like, because you look at Brady and you compare him to Mahomes, and talent wise, you'll take Mahomes. Accomplishment wise, you can't take anybody but Brady. So those two cancel each other out. And then you got Manning, who I'll take over anybody else right now. And I'll take Ben, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. But then I think now is way deeper. I think there's more good quarterbacks now than there were back then.
Give it 5 or 6 years and we'll see where it's at, because it's a bigger sample size with that era. I think it's hard to pick. Like one. I mean, in terms of accomplishments, you'd have to put Lamar Jackson up there.
Mm-hmm.
MVP. I mean, who else has won an MVP?
Two
MVPs. The ability. He's changed the game, the way he played, very much like Michael Vick. He's as close to Michael Vick as we've had. Put it that way. And they scheme more runs for him than because the zone read RPO is much more. Imagine if Michael Vick had this.
Yeah.
These schemes.
Well, think about him when he went to Philly.
Right.
He had the best year of his career. He was throwing it all over the place. You couldn't defend him.
He was an older version of himself.
Yeah.
And
hardened by prison.
Does Cam Newton get a vote?
Yeah, he does.
He won an MVP.
He does.
Went 15-1. Went to a Super Bowl. It's like a forgotten year, that guy.
Here's a way to aggravate. I mean, how's Eli Manning got put in the conversation for the... You know, the Brady era.
He's such a tough eval for me, man, because, like, if he... tough to comb over what I'm about to say. You don't win those Super Bowls, and you watch him play, and you go, like, that's no Hall of Famer.
Right. No.
Like, just watching him.
No, you...
Favre, but he's a little...
He's before.
He's earlier.
Yeah, he folds into that era, on the tail end.
He's Elway.
He's Elway, Steve Young.
Yeah.
He spans the 90s and the 2000s into the 2010s is Brady. 1,000%. Matt Ryan's up there.
He won an MVP.
Yeah, but he's kind of in the tail end, like 07 through.
I put Matt Ryan with like Rodgers, Ryan, Eli.
Yeah.
Rivers?
No, I put him with like the book.
Crazy thing is, Brady beat all of them.
Right.
He beat all of them to a pulp.
Beat
and right now, Mahomes is beating everyone to a pulp.
Except for, as Doran says, Brady. And then imagine Rodgers. Rodgers. Oh, here I am. I'm king of the mountain in the NFC. Hey, nice to meet you, Tom Brady. I'm going to do this for Tampa. Now I'm going to beat your ass.
Right. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's got to suck. And now, like, the NFC's got good quarterbacks. The AFC, it's absurd. Like, as I'm scrolling through, and the reason we're talking about this, Pat, is because, A, you're coming on, but on NFL.com, they came up with their quarterback index, which,
oh boy,
like, power rankings shifts every week. Mahomes is 1, Lamar is 2, Josh Allen 3. This is too much for me, who they got at number 4. And he is undoubtedly great, but they've got him ahead of Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud.
I kind of like that.
Then Burrow's 5. You got to get...
talking about right now.
Right now.
Yeah, Burrow's out.
I know, but he went to a Super Bowl with the Bengals in year 2. You have to go all the way to 6 before you get to an NFC quarterback. And they have Dak Prescott. We could debate that. But then immediately back to the AFC with Rodgers. Then you get Jordan Love. But then you're back to the AFC with Justin Herbert. Then you go to the NFC, Jalen Hurts. And then Jared Goff, but then you go to a, like, the AFC quarterbacks are absurdly good. And you can't win without one. Where does Russell Wilson rank? What is his ceiling? Let's get to that coming up next. And Pat, we got to talk about Pitt, man.
Let's do it.
Big
game. You
want
to talk about West Virginia, too?
Well, we didn't get to play Kent State. So, no, I don't want to talk about
that.
You
got to play a game. Let's talk about Pitt. I love it.
You know what, Pat? I'm not sure they knew they had to play a game. West Virginia.
That's a shame.
Well, I tell you what. If they get that 4th and short on the first drive, it's a different ballgame.
It is. They peed down their leg. And I did not this weekend. So that was the only reason for celebration is that I did not urinate on myself. We will absolutely get into Pitt. They got a big game against Cincinnati this weekend. Noon kick. You're going to have pregame coverage right here on 93.7 The Fan. So we will get into that. But where could Russell Wilson at the end of the year rank among the AFC quarterbacks? We'll do that when we come back. It is 7:15. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have done this exercise before. By the way, Hathorn going to join us. Jeff at 7:35. We have done this before, but it's a good time to do it again. With the season starting in just 3 days, where Russell Wilson would slide in the hierarchy of AFC quarterbacks. And we'll see if we can come to a consensus on this. I'm going to start naming guys. You dudes tell us, and Bostic's with us until 9. You guys tell me if you think better or worse than Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes.
Better.
Better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Burrow.
Better.
Better.
Jackson.
Better.
Allen.
Better.
Stroud.
Better.
Herbert.
Better.
Better.
Tua.
Better. You have to also take into account who he's throwing to.
Right.
And who's calling plays.
That's why Herbert is...
Yep, that's why I paused.
Yeah, I don't feel great about his situation there. Feel a lot better about the coach. Feel better about the offense. I think Ladd McConkey is going to be their number 1 wide receiver. That doesn't exactly strike fear into your hearts. you know, Tua's got Tyreek Hill and Waddle and the fastest running backs on planet Earth and a hell of a schemer. I feel like if Russell Wilson played for Miami, he'd put up some pretty doggone good statistics.
Yep. I agree.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't, so I would have to go with Tua. Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not a big Lawrence guy.
Turn it over a ton.
I still think he's better.
Me too.
Yep.
So here's the guys I think definitively Russell Wilson is better than. Richardson, Ferindi.
Yes. Yes.
Who I think is basically, I mean, he's still a rookie, really. Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jacoby Brissett going to start in New England.
Yes.
Gardner Minshew in Vegas.
Yes.
And Bo Nix with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only guys that I would say definitively better than. And I didn't ask you about two guys that I think are up in the air, even though I'm leaning one way on each. Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. Like, Rodgers to me is such an unknown, but at last we saw him, he was better than the last version of Russell Wilson we saw.
Rodgers is better. I think Watson at this point is a wash.
Yes.
See, I think Deshaun Watson's worse. Like,
there's something that I'm like pausing with Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Like, I'm uncertain.
Deshaun Watson last year had a quarterback rating of 84, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Before that, a completion percentage of 58, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's thrown 14 touchdowns. Oh, thank God he threw 14. And 9 interceptions over the course of the last 2 years. He's either not healthy or he's playing turnover-prone football. And last season, Russell Wilson went, 26-8? I got to give the edge to Russ. He's in a different place. I get that. But it's not like Denver was setting the world on fire with the guys he was throwing the football to.
Right.
So I got to go with Russell Wilson over Deshaun Watson. In fact, if Russell Wilson played for the Browns and Deshaun Watson did not exist, I would have the Browns as a dark horse potential Super Bowl team. Because I don't think Russ would screw it up. You know they're going to use play action. I think Russ is better right now than Deshaun.
I can get on board with that.
And Deshaun yesterday, how about this? Deshaun yesterday, you love when I do that. How about this? Deshaun Watson said he still views himself as an elite quarterback. Of course he has to feel that way, and of course he has to view himself that way, but for God's sakes, come on now.
This is an interesting question because I think a lot comes down to, are the Steelers better than the Browns?
I don't think they are.
Okay, so that's a big question for their season, right? They play them twice. I think the odds-on favorite to win the division is Baltimore, based on what they've done in the past and who they have. Cincinnati's a big question mark. Big question mark.
Are they?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Burrow's been maimed the last 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Has Jamar Chase practiced yet? Do we have it?
He did.
What limited color Gatorade yesterday. Did he drink?
He did. What, probably orange.
Yep.
But which is the worst Gatorade flavor. Agreed?
I don't know if it's the worst.
Get the hell out. What's worse?
Side note. Nothing better than freshly mixed Gatorade on the sideline versus...
Oh, the fresh stuff?
Oh, it's the best.
I crush it.
There's 38 grams more sugar in each serving.
What, you put the powder in there?
Oh, yeah, extra powder.
It's so good.
They say it's for the electrolytes. Really, it just tastes better.
Oh.
But let me ask you this question.
Callis, orange the worst flavor of Gatorade?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of orange.
Thank you.
Let's dig into this. Who's got the better offensive line, Cleveland or Pittsburgh?
Cleveland.
Who would you rather have? Freiermuth, Pickens, and... their receivers, the rest of their receivers, Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, or Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, and David Njoku.
That.
Browns.
That's why I think Watson, I think it's Wash. I think he's got a better cast around him. Better up front. To this point, I haven't seen Arthur Smith call a play in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Better play caller.
Can you agree with this? If you flip-flop Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson.
Yes, and that's a fair comparison.
Yeah.
But in terms of like who will he be better than in 2024, I have a hard time not factoring in.
He had all those guys last year and sucked.
He did. He played how many games?
Well, if you talk about Joe Burrow getting maimed, you got to talk about Deshaun Watson getting maimed.
Chubb also got, you know, his legs taken out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're a different team with him, too.
Who's better going against the defenses? Who would you take going against? Deshaun Watson going against the Steelers defense or Russell Wilson going against the Browns defense?
I think the Steelers defense is better.
Is it in Cleveland or is it in Pittsburgh?
Right.
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 Or anyway, neutral site game.
I can't get past that for the Browns. They really got to figure that out. If you want to consider yourself a Super Bowl contender, you got to play defense on the road, too. And they're one of the worst defenses in football on the road. It's right. So bizarre. It's yeah. So weird.
See, I think the Pittsburgh...
T.J. Watt travels to and he plays wherever he plays.
Yeah, he plays on the road. Yeah, I think the Browns on paper are better than the Steelers. I think when it comes to down to brass tacks, I think the Steelers will beat them.
All right, let's table this and talk about where Russell Wilson could wind up at the end of the year. We got Jeff Hathorn coming up next, and we got a text from Starkey saying orange is the best Gatorade flavor. So we now know it's the worst.
It's in crinkulant.
It's in crinkulant. It tastes just like orange juice. Jeff Hathorn next, brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Make clogged gutters. Easy for me to say. Make clogged gutters a thing of the past with Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET. Jeff Hathorn joins us now. Pat Bostic, kind enough to be with us until 9 o'clock. And Jeff, want to do like 99% football stuff here with you. Jeff, of course, our sports director here at 93.7 The Fan. But we got to start real quick with the Pirate game last night. And then Noah Hyles really ticking off Derek Shelton in the post game. You're a Big J journalist. Did Noah do anything wrong there, or was that a question that needed to be asked?
I think Noah does a great job. He asks a lot of tough questions. He doesn't put up with a lot of BS. That one, I don't know if it needed to be asked. Just got no hit. I mean, we've seen Rowdy Tellez in a game before. I think at that point you could have left that lie because you knew what the story was. It was the no-hitter. And the fact that Rowdy was in just – probably didn't need any mention at all.
Oh, man.
It was 11-0. I don't know if you right. knew that. It was 11-0 at that point, though, Jeff.
No, what I'm saying is it's 11-0. Like, that's the story. The fact that Rowdy came in the game wasn't...
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
If they would have put Bednar in the game, that would have been more of a story. Like, what are you doing wasting a guy when you've got another game on Thursday night?
Which was kind of his point, right? That was kind of Shelton's point.
Right.
Right. Right.
Jeff.
Right.
And I know that everybody is clamoring to Pirates right now, but we're going to skip over that and head over to the Steelers because the Steelers play Sunday and there's a game tonight and NFL football kicks off tonight. At the end of the game on Sunday, around what, 4:15, 4 p.m., who are we talking about? Who's the guy for the Steelers that's saying, this guy had a great game and this is the reason why the Steelers won?
Najee Harris had a great game. Steelers were able to get that running game going, and that's the and they created enough run game to make a few play action passes. But I think Najee Harris is the reason you're talking about a win in Atlanta, if that's the way it goes on Sunday.
Here's my question for you, Jeff. Who's the starting left tackle? Who's the starting right tackle when they line up on Sunday?
Dan Moore on the left side. And Broderick Jones on the right. Troy Faltano was saying after practice, was telling me that, hey, he did his first live drills, feels better, starting to get that confidence back with the knee. But he hasn't done anything quite like that since the Houston preseason game. I can't imagine, even if he would practice full today, that you would have that limited time and put a rookie. If it's a 10-year vet, maybe it's a different story, but you put a rookie into his first game on the road and put him in that situation. I think it'll be Dan Moore and Broderick Jones.
Jeff, will we see Justin Fields on offense?
I think, but limited. I mean, I don't anticipate this monster package, but, you know, Tom had even said it himself. When you have an athlete like that, you have to find a way to get him out on the field. So I think they will, but I don't think, don't expect that it's going to be, you know, any series or anything like that. But, you know, even if the head coach is out there saying, we need to get this guy on the field, and you look at what they have, I mean, he is, you could argue, he is their most dynamic player.
Jeff, I know that today is the big practice day, but yesterday, Jaylen Warren limited, Roman Wilson limited, Troy Faltano limited. I think Faltano has to get a helmet just because you don't have enough tackle depth. I think Jaylen Warren's going to be good to go. What do you think about Roman Wilson being a young guy, having practiced as limited as he has to this point?
Yeah, I agree with you with Warren, and we'll see more today. You're right. Roman Wilson, that's another guy. I mean, he's a rookie, and he hasn't really practiced since the beginning of training camp,
yeah.
And he hasn't had a full practice yet. Even if he has just one full practice, and even if he goes Friday, which is kind of a hybrid walkthrough, I don't see Roman Wilson being out there. There's just been too much time where he hasn't been available at practice to be able to be out there. Now, he's moving in the right direction, and I think, you know, that time is coming sooner than later, but I don't think that time is going to be Sunday. They're going to go with that receiving core, and, you know, we'll see if somebody can make a name for themselves and establish themselves at least after 1 week as a two.
Jeff, Corey Trice, obviously a young guy, but he practiced it in a limited capacity. He practiced it. Where the hell did that go?
I just let you go.
Man, that was like Antonio Brown expertizalism right there.
Expertizalism.
He practiced it yesterday, Jeff. Did we lose Jeff?
Hillgrove called in because he's coming on next and bumped Jeff off the call.
Oh, okay. You could just say that on the air.
We're all
this has been say it on the air, yeah.
Oh, you did say that on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he?
I don't think so.
Hillgrove's coming on?
Yeah. Every week. Every week.
Awesome.
Yeah. Got him.
I'm so excited.
All right.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going, buddy?
Hello.
Jeff.
What happened there?
Jeff, did you hear me say practiced it?
No.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I've created new words myself, so I appreciate you adding to the dictionary.
Yeah, that was very Craig Wolfley-esque. We have Bill Hillgrove coming on in the next segment, and I forgot about him totally. So this will be the last question for you, buddy. My apologies for that.
Yeah,
but
no,
Corey
please.
Trice, another young guy, but I feel like they need him to play despite not getting a ton of practice reps because you're so thin at corner.
Yeah, and I think there's an opportunity that he'll be able to play on Sunday. He's shown a lot of good things. I mean, he's got the size. They're kind of anxious to see what he could do. I think the best thing for that secondary, a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, who does like to get rid of the ball pretty quickly. But, that's one of the areas to watch this Sunday is that secondary.
Jeff, we appreciate your time, buddy. In one of the clunkiest interviews we've ever done, I take full responsibility. It is my fault. But thank you. We'll talk to you about Najee Harris and a Steelers victory on Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, boys. Best to Billy.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn.
Wow. We were just.
It was smooth until.
No, it was never smooth.
No.
It was never smooth.
Didn't feel it. I wanted to get out quick.
Really?
And I think Jeff thought I was pushing back on him about Noah, but I was really just trying to make fun of Derek Shelton.
Can I make an excuse for us?
Yeah.
The fact that we can't see him on the screen here makes it really awkward.
It's been like that for like 2 weeks.
We've got to figure this out.
Yeah.
But we've been doing it with him on the screen. It feels like he's just here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That felt like he was in Chicago or
could
something.
It could have been anywhere. Yeah. And we're going to talk to Billy, who will be on the screen.
No, he won't.
But we won't be able to see him coming up next. Yeah. Bill Hillgrove talking Pitt, Cincinnati. I'll just step out of the way, let you guys conduct that interview.
He does come on the screen, though, but we just can't see him.
We can't see him.
He's figured it out.
But he's never going to come on if we don't wrap the segment up. So we will do that now. Bill Hillgrove next. Quarterback talk. Push back to 8 o'clock. Every Thursday at this time, the voice of the Pittsburgh Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, going to join the program. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We've got Pitt sideline reporter Doran Dickerson. We've got Pitt color analyst Pat Bostic in with us until 9 o'clock. So we've got the entire broadcast team on right now. I'm going to take a step back. Doran, you take this thing with Mr. Billy Hilly.
Billy, how you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, I should say good morning. Hi, Bill.
How's it going?
We're doing pretty well. We're all juiced up, ready to go, ready to head to Cincinnati tomorrow. Bill, I'll start you here. What's some things that stuck out to you against Kent State? New offense, Cade Bell. Some new players, some new names. I know some guys stuck out to you. So what's some things that caught you by surprise from last week's game against Kent State with the Pitt football team?
Well, what caught me by surprise was during one of Desmond Reed's runs, I had my head down. And so when I picked it up, you know, he's halfway through a 40-plus yard run. And it's going to be an adjustment for Pat and myself to, you know, keep our eyes up and watch this high-octane offense. Well, if you get a 300-yard passer and a 100-yard receiver and a 100-yard rusher, I think you've done things well. And I was really pleased. I didn't think it would come together that quickly, but I give Cade Bell a lot of credit that, you know, they're ready. And I like and Pat and I have discussed this, I like the fact that, you know, they don't script things and everybody has to kind of react. And let's face it, the game of football is a game of reaction. So let's see where this goes, because the step this week is up considerably.
Bill, you've seen a lot of freshman quarterback play over your tenure as the play-by-play man for Pitt. This performance by Eli Holstein certainly is up there statistically, but what did you observe from him in stadium that impressed you?
He managed the game. He communicated well. You know, and his passes, okay, he threw a couple off the mark, but by and large, he was very accurate. So, you know, that's very encouraging. And a breakout game for Kenny Johnson. 105 yards on seven catches and that 46-yarder. It was very rewarding to watch. I think, is that their best output yardage-wise since, 2021? And as I recall, that was a championship season.
Yes, sir.
Billy, when we were doing our post-game interview with Coach Pat Narduzzi, I asked him the question, and I asked him about Desmond Reed and Cade Bell, of them coming from Western Carolina, having a chip on their shoulder to prove that they could both play and call plays at the Division I level and produce at the Division I level. But I should have asked him the question, and I want to get your opinion on it. Does Pat Narduzzi have a chip on his shoulder this year to prove that last year was a fluke? Did you get a sense of that throughout the game on Saturday, that Pat Narduzzi has a little chip on his shoulder?
I've had that sense watching a couple of practices and the scrimmage toward the end of camp. And, yeah, there's a sense of urgency there. There's a sense of what you saw last year wasn't us, and we're going to prove it. And I think that's a good thing. And I think the players have bought into it. And, hey, Pat, didn't you love the fact that the tight ends caught seven passes?
I think I loved it, but Doran might have liked it more.
Oh, yeah.
Bill. And I think that's what was absent last year, among other things. And, you know, last year, the offense was so lackluster that it dragged the defense down. And now I see just the opposite happening this year. This offense is going to spark that defense and make them better. They had a lull in the third quarter. The Kent State pushed them around a little bit. But when it came to, you know, winning the football game, that defense did what it had to do.
Bill, is there any thing that you didn't get answered from this game? Is there anything that concerns you going into game number two, apart from just the step up in competition?
Well, you know, I think, and I think it's too early to start judging the O-line because it takes them time to mesh under game conditions. And so I think that's going to happen. You got, 58 starts in that group. And that's a lot of experience, and I think it's necessary. So, you know, I expect, and it's the old coaching adage, you know, you improve the most the first to second game, so we'll look for that on Saturday.
Billy, you're no stranger to Cincinnati. You've made many a trip there over the years. Any favorite locales in the other Queen City that you want to head to on Friday night?
Well, you know, I used to go to a jazz spot in Covington called D. Felice Cafe. And it's out of bounds now. It closed permanently about a year ago. So the team is staying in Covington, and I guess I'll have to find a new place to hang out unless I decide to go into Cincinnati. And, you know, in this day of Uber, that's an easy thing to do. The Montgomery Inn, you know, the barbecue there, it's every bit as good as advertised. And that's one of my favorite spots.
Bill, we all know the place to be is wherever you wind up, big guy. Looking forward to your call on Saturday. Thank you so much for coming on. We're really happy to be doing this every week.
H2P.
Thank you, Billy.
There he goes.
Bill to Pitt.
Bill Hillgrove. What's the other Queen City? Seattle?
Charlotte.
Oh.
Wow. Like Seattle.
You know, I was close. I had the continental United States.
I got to be honest with you. I did have to Google to make sure I got that right. It's like, I know Charlotte. I've been to Charlotte enough. Right. I've only been to Cincinnati as a player, and then 2012. So I had to just double check to make sure I didn't just totally lie on the air, but I was right. So
you knew it.
You got to go with your gut.
I had no idea.
Charlotte.
No clue.
Billy sounded chipper this morning, man.
Yeah, he's ready to
run. I love it.
He was jacked up last week,
too. He was, seriously, I think, he did a great job on the Steelers, but having him full-time pitting, I mean, can you imagine the weeks he had to go through getting ready for games? Like,
remember, he'd get off the plane and have to drive to, like, Philly or drive to
Cincinnati.
I talked
to him on, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday, and he's like, yeah, I just got done with the pit charts, now I got to do the Steelers charts. I was like, you're looking at, 150 names?
Yeah.
And then I remember one time we went to Iowa. We go to Iowa, and you're playing in the NFL at the time. We're up in the clouds in the stadium. I'm like, he's gonna call 43 Polamalu, or he's gonna call because the uniforms are just seriously. And darn it if he didn't get everyone right. But I mean, I can tell how excited he is for this year, and he sounded ready to roll this morning.
I did a Steelers schedule release show with him one time.
He's the best
at the old place, and the entire time he was going. Well, now, wait a second, the Steelers in Carolina, and then he's pulling out the pit sketch. I'm like, God bless you, Billy. That is a lot of work, man.
Well, you know, his bag one time went to Ottawa with the Penguins. We flew to, I forget where we were going, Virginia Tech or something. We get down there, and it's like, where's my bag? And I'm like, Billy, hell if I know. And he checks, and he goes, sir, it got on the wrong plane. It's in Ottawa with the Penguins. Somehow they were able to get it to him before he had to fly to, like, Oakland or something the next day. But it's like,
it's just in Canada, no big deal.
Right,
we'll get that to you right quick.
Shout out to the folks at Atlantic Aviation. My apologies for
this Atlantic Aviation coverage on the Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We will get into more of the college football stuff next hour, but we're going to start where we left off before on the NFL. Where will Russell Wilson slot in among AFC quarterbacks when it's all said and done this year? First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, the 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500s, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high 82.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.